We'll be reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 6 to 9. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. I've entitled this message, this Father's Day, Can the Family Survive? Sharp and loud voices have been predicting and promoting the end of the family as defined in the Bible. Articles such as, quote, Is this the last marriage generation, unquote, proclaim the death of the family. More than half of all American couples living together are not married. In 2016, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of same-sex marriages. The biblical definition of sin has been redefined as gender preference. Spouses swap partners, groups of married couples swing, and families are often made up of any combination of people who choose to cohabitate. But what is the Christian response to the news that the biblical model of the family is rapidly losing ground? We must begin by purposefully working toward our Christian ideals without expecting of each other or of anyone absolute perfection. Ideas are goals toward which to work. They are not the absolute performance standards everyone may meet every day. Jesus gave us his ideal for family life as he described the intention of God for male-female commitment in Mark chapter 6, verses 6 to 9. Estimates vary. But between 33% and 43% of children live in homes without their father present in the USA. Children in father-absent homes are almost four times as likely to be poor. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. Here is God's intention. He created us, male and female, for the purpose of fulfilling each other's lives. This arrangement leads to the establishment of a family in which two people commit themselves to each other for life. Their commitment to each other is a sacred covenant. It is entered into to accomplish the purposes of God for their lives. With this ideal clearly in front of us, with the dire pronouncements on current family life, what can we do? I believe there are three transfusions necessary for the survival of the biblical model of family in our society. Not every family will accept and receive these transfusions, but God has made them available. First, there must be a strong spiritual commitment to the biblical model for the family. Many are denying and decrying the need for commitment. They are saying that commitment is totally out of place in any marriage arrangement. In fact, some people act like they do not need to consider marriage at all. They are saying commitment only leads to problems and denies freedom. In much current thought, the only criterion for continuing marriage or family is whether it is a presently satisfactory relationship. This moment-to-moment approach to marriage and the family gives it no permanence or stability. The attitude created by this lack of commitment is that if marriage gets uncomfortable, one should get out immediately. This lack of commitment is most clearly seen in the norm of couples living together before marriage. Another way it is seen is in the recent development of marriage contracts by which a couple may opt out of marriage with no penalties after a set length of time. Till death do us part has become passé. These trends assume that couples have no responsibility for maintaining or continuing the family. The family is to be continued only so long as both parties are pleased by the arrangement. What is happening in marriage and the family is not too different from what is happening in other areas of our society. The same indifference to commitment plagues other segments of society as well. We have moved to the no frustration era in which almost no one tolerates frustration. The factors creating frustration are multiplying. But our instant age wants immediate results and guaranteed happiness in everything. Some of you are aware of a recent television commercial where a person says, I want it, and I want it now. In a society that encourages its people to commit themselves to nothing, meaningful marriage will be extremely difficult. We are taught to be ready to run if any difficulty develops. Thus, we must learn again the meaning of commitment. We must teach young people what it means to commit oneself to another in love and to help that person and oneself grow together toward godly living. Because society says, "Don't do it," it will take courage for Christians to begin learning what it is to make marriage and family commitment a meaningful experience. Jesus was talking about the ideal of commitment when he quoted the words of Genesis that we find in today's text. "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Genesis 2:24. Second, if the family is to survive, we must inhale the atmosphere of regular Christian worship and service for every family member, including the father. We can say with indisputable evidence on our side, every family that is serious about its survival and health will find its place in a local congregation. Families need survival kits for marriage in the jungle of American society. These kits must include instructions on how to get into and be a part of a growing Christian fellowship. Families need to breathe the air of spiritual worship every week if they're going to be strong and have a daily prayer and Bible reading in the home. Families are constantly exposed to forces from the outside that will destroy them. These forces include such things as affluence, personal success, moral decay, and vocational pressures. A mass of lifestyle options from which one can choose also helps to weaken the family. On the other hand, there are fewer strengths within the family. A husband's income is often no longer sufficient to support a family. Thus, women often work outside the home while the children are cared for by a non-family member. A few years ago, a minister attended a conference in New York City. One evening, he walked down the street to a restaurant to eat his dinner. The bar area of the restaurant was visible from the restaurant eating area where he was eating. It was early in the evening, and many people were just getting off work. As he watched the people coming off the street and into the bar area, he saw them finding the same kind of satisfaction in the bar that we would expect people to find in a home. Young and middle-aged men and women were greeting each other with handshakes and kisses. They inquired of each other how the business day had gone and who was giving them trouble. They joked and laughed with each other as they relaxed together. The bar had all the atmosphere of a family clan gathering for a holiday. These people had experienced what they hoped would be substitutes for marriage and the family in their solitary existences. The church is one of the few remaining strengthening groups for family life. The bar substitute and all the other substitute institutions and agencies deteriorate the family rather than strengthen it. The church can do something for a family that no other institution can do for it. If families would make as much time for church participation as they do for other things, the church could be far more effective for families. Church membership alone will not do it. Occasional church attendance will not do it. Critical attitudes toward the church will not do it. Blaming the church for every failure will not do it. Only wholesome, positive participation in Christian fellowship will allow your family to breathe the atmosphere of the church as the bride of Jesus Christ. We are always pleased when there is money enough to add a room to a house. I remember early in our marriage, when things were getting crowded after our first son was born, we added two rooms on our home. Sometimes, of course, families add a room even when they don't have enough money to do it, so they borrow the money like we did. Isn't it amazing that many people will spend all kinds of time and money improving their houses, but will not give the church enough time to improve their homes? The church is the one fellowship that keeps the ideals of the Bible before people and families. The third infusion for the survival of the family is the infusion or transfusion of Christ into every functioning part of the family. Every part that moves must have the strength of the Holy Spirit flowing into it. The creator of family life is also the keeper of family life. To what degree are the fruits of the Holy Spirit characteristic of your family life? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I have prayed for each one of my sons on separate prayer cards that they would always exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit in their marriages. Some social scientists today are looking for a new arrangement to replace marriage. Many experimenters think they have found it in a variety of arrangements. But I would submit to you that we do not need a new arrangement. We need spiritually renewed persons. Social scientists, for the most part, are treating the symptoms instead of the cause of the decline of marriage and the family. Commitment to Christ can change individuals. He can put new blood in the veins of a marriage. He helps us find the purposes of God in marriage. Every day that a family lives together, it needs the presence of Christ. It needs the presence of Christ to learn how to forgive, to learn how to share meaningfully with others, and to learn how to accept others by being accepted themselves. It needs the presence of Christ to learn how to love, not selfishly, but self-sacrificially, and to learn how to trust others so that they will be built up. Jesus' parable of the houses on the rock and on the sand was never more appropriate than for the homes of today. A home falls, not because homes cannot stand anymore, but because they are built on the wrong foundation. Christ and the Bible are needed in your home if you want your family to last, and especially if you want your home life to be meaningful. The improvement of our families is one of the most compelling reasons for responding to Christ. He gives us something that we can build on if we will let Him guide us. The real question for us this morning is, do we care enough about our homes to let Christ change our lives to line up with His purposes, His will, and His way? Our closing hymn today is number 654, and I would ask that you would prayerfully sing, "Change My Heart, O God," as we prepare to receive new church members today.